The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I had a football game when I did this, and I was jumping up and down cheering for my team. I'm just kidding, folks. Brother Mike Ray's the only one that got it, okay. I was looking for you in the back, but you moved up. That's good. They said I'm not on. That is their fault. Okay. Okay, you just got a cut in pay. Have your Bibles, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Let me echo what Brother Ray said. This auditorium is beautiful. And I'm excited about what God is doing in Parkside Baptist Church. And I mean that. I really, as Brother Wells said, I've known him for about 28 years, I would suppose. I remember when he was a youth pastor there at Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg. Had the privilege of preaching there for him several times, and he for me. And I just kind of always knew when Brother Wells, God gave him the place where he wanted him to pastor, that when he got settled in that place, that he was going to do a great work for God. And I believe he's in that place. And I mean that with all of my heart. I'm just excited about what God is going to do and what he's already done and how the church has already grown. And I appreciate the foundation that was laid here. And man, I'm excited what God is doing. Appreciate Brother Butler and his son picking me up. And appreciate the fan. When somebody gets you a fan, they need a raise. Man, how many of you sleep with a fan? Now, I cannot hardly sleep without a fan, so that fan is priceless. Thank you so much for that. How many of you have your exit signs, okay? Let's see how many of you got your exit signs. Last year, I preached a message on exit. Okay, hold it up. Let's see how many of you still got yours, okay? Well, all three of you still got it. That's great. Okay, the ushers are ready in the back. We're going to give you some more exit signs. Okay, I'm just kidding, all right? Okay. Keep that exit sign. Wasn't that a tremendous message? Wow. Man, that was just tremendous. If you have your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 17. Brother Carl Hatch said that the greatest compliment that you can give to a preacher is to invite him back. And so what a privilege to be invited back here once again. The book of Proverbs, chapter 17. I think I told you Brother Carl Hatch led my dad to Christ. And so he's very special to me. The book of Proverbs, chapter 17. If you're able, why don't we stand once again? The book of Proverbs. Man, I really appreciate Brother Mike Ray laying that foundation for a very long message. Man, I love that. That is so good. I can go to midnight. But if you fall out, don't look for me to raise you up from the dead, okay? I can't do that. You'll be on your own, okay? Proverbs chapter number 17. We're going to look at a lot of verses just in way of laying the foundation. The book of Proverbs chapter number 17. Look at verse 22. Proverbs 17. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, what does it say? Drieth the bones. You often wonder why a lot of young people don't have that shout. They don't have that excitement. The Bible says a broken spirit drieth the bones. Look in Proverbs chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs chapter number 18. And look at verse number 14. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I want you to hold your place there in Proverbs chapter number 18. And if you would, go to the book of Romans chapter number 1. Keep your place in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. Keep your place there. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter number 1. The book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter number 1. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. The Bible says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my, what does it say? Spirit. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to need to do it in your spirit. The Bible says they that worship God worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. If you would, go to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians chapter number 6. Everybody all right? Amen. Still with me? Look at the book of Galatians chapter. We're going to look at a lot of verses here. We'll make our prayer. We'll be seated. And we're going to continue to lay the foundation for a little bit. Look at the book of Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. Be with your spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your what? What does it say? Your whole spirit. Very interesting that it says your whole spirit. That word whole there means perfectly sound, okay? Perfectly sound with your whole spirit. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Many of you realize the last letter that Paul wrote, the last epistle, his last words was 2 Timothy. Nearly the very, very last words that we have of Paul the apostle is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 22. The last words, notice what he says. The Lord Jesus Christ be with what? Be with thy spirit. One of the last things Paul says to Timothy, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. You know, it's very vital. Stay with me closely. It's very vital that you have a healthy spirit. Amen. Very vital. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the tremendous message. Lord, I enjoy hearing Brother Mike Ray preach. Lord, every time I hear him preach, it just seems like he has the right message. He always seems to have the right spirit. And Father, I thank you for his ministry and how you've used him across this nation to make a difference in the lives of young people. God, we thank you for Brother Wells. Thank you for his family. What a joy it was for me to sit there and listen to his family sing and to see them excited and serving the Lord. And God, we thank you for this great church. We thank you for the good news that we hear, what you're doing here. We thank you for this conference. Thank you for, Lord, all the sacrifice and all the work that has gone into this conference. And Father, I understand a little bit about what it takes to host a conference like this. And God, I pray that you would honor and bless this church for their investment in the lives of young people. And Father, I pray now that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that, God, you give me your power, and I say exactly what you want said tonight. We thank you for all that you're going to do. For us, in Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Appreciate your patience there. Let's go back to Proverbs, if you would, the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 18. Everybody still with me? The book of Proverbs. I got it. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs. Look at chapter number 18. And let's look at verse number 14 one more time. Let's look at it with me. The Bible says, the spirit of a man will, what does it say?
Sustain.
Now, the word sustain, listen very carefully. The Bible says the spirit of a man will what? Sustain. The word sustain means to support, to uphold, to keep from falling, okay? So what is it that supports you? What is it that upholds you? What is it that helps you from falling? The Bible says the spirit of a man. Now watch what it says. The spirit of a man will sustain what? His infirmity. The word infirmity means weakness or defect. Are you listening to me? If your spirit is healthy, if your spirit is what it ought to be, whenever things come, trials come, problems come, heartaches come, if your spirit is healthy, it will uphold you. It will keep you from falling in the midst of your weaknesses or your defects or your problems. But notice the last part of the verse. The Bible says, but a what? But a wounded spirit who can bear. The word wound there means injury or hurt. The word injury means any wrong damage done to a man's person, rights, or reputation. So the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Like a lot of you, all of us, we wonder, you know, what happens to so many young people? It seems like when they're like, you know, 10, 11, and 12 years old, somewhere around that age, they have such a good spirit. And it's like when they got a great spirit, and they seem to be, you know, they get involved in the preaching, and man, they laugh, and man, they're just excited about the things of God. And then normally sometimes it seems like around the age 14, around 15, and especially starts showing up, you get around 16 and 17, it's like something has happened to their spirit. Many of you here tonight, you have seen it over and over and over. Are y'all with me tonight? Yes. Something happens to their spirit. Let me tell you what I think happens to a lot of young people. We always talk about this. You know, that young person has a rebellious spirit. You know, that young person has a, you know, just a bad spirit. Now listen carefully. Normally, way before they get to a rebellious spirit, it started way over here with a wounded spirit. And because they didn't get cured of their wounded spirit, several years went by and they wound up having a rebellious spirit. Everybody with me? See, I think we missed this. I think a lot, I really do. I think we dealt so much with, you know, the rebellion, and we need to deal with that, and we need to preach for that. But a lot of times, I think it starts with a wounded spirit, and I'll show you here in a minute, and then it will turn into a bitter spirit, and it'll turn into a wounded spirit. Everybody with me? When you look at me tonight, it's very obvious. Some of you are like, man, what happened to Brother Carr? I mean, you know, did he fall? Did he get hurt? My wife hit him with a pan? Or, you know, what happened to the preacher? And you notice, it's, you know, something appears to you to be wrong. And if I were to begin to walk with these crutches, and it would become very obvious to you that I have been injured, that I have been hurt. You know what? It's very obvious to me when I look at a lot of young people, there is something has happened. But it is not something physically that's happened. It is something that has took place in their spirit. See, the devil's been at this stuff for a long time. And the devil knows if you're going to serve God, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9 says you're going to have to do it in your spirit. The Bible says if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to do it with your spirit. The Bible says that we need a whole spirit. Everybody still with me? And so what happens, we get a wounded spirit. Let me give you these very quickly. First of all, and this is not the message. I got to midnight. Normally when I get up to pray, I'm always in a hurry. I'm watching my watch. Listen, go ahead and hold my watch. I don't need that. Give me my watch back, brother. Let me give you the casualties of a wounded spirit. I've seen pastors with a wounded spirit. All of America, there are pastors who have a wounded spirit. I was preaching for a preacher in Florida, and he said to me after the service, he said, do you mind just sitting around talking for a while? So I'd be glad to. He began to tell me a story, how this is a pastor, how his wife and him had some problems, and how he went out and sat in the graveyard with a shotgun. And he actually put the shotgun, this is a pastor, put the shotgun in his mouth, and he was about to pull the trigger. And he began to think about, he had two boys, and he began to think about, you know, the next morning my boys are going to find me in this condition. And he changed his mind. What happened to that pastor? If you knew the story, he got a wounded spirit. I've seen pastors' wives all over the country who there just something seems to be wrong with their spirit. What happened? The church or somebody did something. They got a wounded spirit. I see pastors' children, especially a lot of preachers' kids, have a wounded spirit. I see staff members who, you know, got a wounded spirit. I meet missionaries who have a wounded spirit. I see laymen in the church who have a wounded spirit. I see husbands who have wounded spirits. I see wives who have wounded spirits. I see college students who have a wounded spirit. And normally we stop there, but you know what I'm noticing? I'm noticing a lot of young people. I'm noticing a lot of teenagers with a wounded spirit. I preached this message. If I called the name of this evangelist, nearly everybody in this room would know him. He's a nationally known evangelist. And he heard this message and he said, Brother Carr, he said, that's exactly what happened to my son. He said, that's exactly what happened. This is a pastor, very not well known. And he said, that's exactly what happened. He got a wounded spirit. May I say number two, this is not the message. Stay with me. The causes of a wounded spirit. Man, there's a lot of things. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes we get a wound by a fall. Sometimes we get a wound by a burn. Somebody, we use the term, boy, they burnt us. Sometimes we get a wound by being struck by an object. There's a lot of ways that you can get a wound. There's a lot of ways you can get a wounded spirit. If you came from a divorced home, there's a good chance that you have probably had a wounded spirit. I'm not saying you do have, but I'm saying there's a good chance you probably know what it is. If you've ever been in a church split, there's a good chance that you know what a wounded spirit is. If you had somebody very close to you to die, there's a good chance that you know what a wounded spirit is. But let me give you two things quickly that causes young people to get a wounded spirit. Number one, criticism from their parents. Criticism from their parents. A lot of times if a young person, all they hear is criticism, 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 and they're never really praised. And what will happen in time, they never seem to reach the potential. They never seem to, you know, be good enough to please mom and dad. And it's always you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, your skirt's this, your hair's that, you know, and it's just always that. And we need to preach all of that. But we also must learn to praise our children. Are you still with me? Oftentimes, the criticism from the parents and then rejection. Rejection. And when a young person feels they're being rejected by mom and dad or they're being rejected by others, my friend, if they're not careful, they will wind up with a wounded spirit. May I say number three, the consequences of a wounded spirit. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, things that should be easy become very hard. You know, all the things that Brother Ray preached about tonight and in his message about amening and about singing and all of that stuff, you know, that really are to be easy. You know, how heavy is a hymn book, right? But you see a lot of young people, and the preacher says, or the song leader says, you know, get your hymn book and stand. It's like their arm is broke and they can't reach and grab the hymn book. You know, you think giving out a gospel tract would become easy. You think, you know, tithing would become easy. You think working on a bus route would become easy. But when you have a wounded spirit, things that ought to be easy become very hard. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. You know, walking up these steps, it's not difficult. Now, when you get 51, it gets very difficult, but I'm not 57, okay? But when you get 51, it gets very it gets harder to do that. But if I was really wounded, it would be, you know, that which was easy has now became very hard. Are y'all with me tonight? It is going to be hard for you to serve God with a wounded spirit. You know, you think it would be easy to obey mom and dad. You know, you think, how difficult could that be? You think it'd be very easy to get involved on a bus route. But my friend, it becomes very hard to serve God when you have a wounded spirit. Number two, hey, we're talking about the consequences of a wounded spirit. Things that are should be easy become very hard. You become very sensitive. You ever notice how sensitive people are nowadays? We talk about political correctness. It has entered the pulpit. You know, you got to be, you know, you can't hardly joke with people. They're so easily offended. Why? If I had a real wound here, Brother Butler, if there was a real wound and you went to touch it, I'd go, ooh, wait, whoa, don't go there. Ooh, don't touch that. You see what I'm saying? Have you noticed some young people, it's like, you know, boy, they just snap. It's like they got this chip on their shoulder. You know, mom and dad says, you know, clean your room, take out the garbage, and they roll in their eyes, and, you know, you become very sensitive. Hey, number three, you become high maintenance. You know, a lot of times the young person in the youth group that gets the wounded spirit, it becomes a bitter spirit, a rebellious spirit, they normally get all the attention. When somebody has a wounded spirit in the church, a lot of times the pastor has to give that person a lot of attention. But the person who has a good spirit, normally they don't need a lot of attention. But you come very high maintenance. They tell me in a war, I've not been in a war like Brother Vineyard, and I don't have those war stories. But Brother Jonathan, would you mind helping me out if you don't mind? Could you lay down there on your back? Could I have four young men come up? Just four, one, yeah, that's your four. If I was in a war, they tell me in a war, many times they'd rather wound a man than kill him. Are y'all with me? Because if I wound him, now watch this, if I wound him, you know, this is your buddy, this is your soldier, so you've got to help him, right? You've got to get him off the battlefield. So you get that leg. Come on, help me. You get don't pick him up. Just you get that leg. You get that arm. Now what? Wait, what's that right there? I've got five people now tied up because he's wounded. I got him out of the battle. I got him out of the battle. I've got him out of the battle. I've got him out of the battle. And I've got him out of the battle. All over America, there's people that got wounded. Something happened. Are you listening to me tonight? And now it's like we're losing the battle. Now I know we're going to win at the end. I've read the last chapter. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate that, Brother Jonathan. You become high maintenance. You wind up getting out of the battle. And I've already said this. I got a young preacher boy at my church who went to a Bible college. He got a wounded spirit. He was wrong. It wasn't the Bible college. But I watched him. He came to me and he talked to me what happened and he explained to me what happened. And I said, son, they're in authority. You just need to keep your mouth closed. You need to have a good spirit. He said, okay, preacher. But I knew in my spirit that his spirit wasn't right. Can I say to you tonight, he's not in the ministry and serving the Lord, and he was one of the best young preachers that I had ever heard. He has such great potential for God. And I just knew that, man, I'm going to see his name in the papers. I'm going to see him all over America. But what happened? He got a wounded spirit. That's not the message. The message tonight I want to preach about, because I got to midnight. We talked about the casualties of a wounded spirit. We talked about the causes of a wounded spirit, the consequences of a wounded spirit. But I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the cure of a wounded spirit. You know, I am glad that, you know, if you get wounded, that, hey, we do serve the great healer. And there is a cure for a wounded spirit. Hey, he who raised the dead and he who caused the blind to see and he who gave sight to the blind can heal the wounded spirit. And so what is it? What is that cure for a wounded spirit? Number one, you must expose the wound. You must expose the wound. Go to Psalms very quickly. Watch this. Look in Psalms 19. Boy, I hate to make you turn your Bible. I know you're not used to Bible preaching, but watch this. Just kidding. Just kidding. Give me my water. Let me take a break. Look in Psalms 19. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from what? Secret faults. Listen carefully. Look at me. There's probably young people all over this room. Something happened. Something was said by mom and dad. And it might have been a little thing. It might have been a big thing. I had a man in my office having problems in his marriage. And I said, you know, just, is there somebody maybe that you need to forgive? I don't remember exactly what question I asked, but this man, I mean, he's built, he's big, he's strong, he's sharp. And I watched him begin to weep. He began to weep. His bottom lip began to shake, and tears began to run down his face. And he said, "Preacher, I was 6 years old." He said, "When I was 6 years old, he said I wanted to go to this baseball game, and my dad, he smoked pot and he drank and all of that, and I was riding my bicycle back and forth and waiting on my dad, and he was with his buddies out in the yard, and I kept waiting, and finally I got tired of waiting, so I rode my bike down there to the ball field and watched the game, and I left my bike at the railroad tracks, and he said my mama began to look for me and found my bike by the railroad tracks and got." And they couldn't find me. My dad began to look for me. And finally, he came to the ballpark and found me. He said, "I was 6 years old, just right around the corner from the house." And he said, "My dad, when he got me home, he said, he just beat me and he beat me. He busted my eardrum. And he said, he just beat me. He said, I had to stay inside for 2 weeks. Now, I'm for disciplining your children. But I'm not for that." I said, "You're going to have to forgive your dad." You know what he did? He exposed the wound. He finally got it in the open. He wrote a letter, and he brought the letter to me. And I read the letter. I said, "You need to mail this." And he kept it for a little while. I said, "Have you mailed the letter?" He said, "Not yet." And then I think it was Sunday morning or last week. He said, "Preacher, I mailed the letter." Boy, it was a sweet letter. He had to expose the wound. I was at home. My wife was going to go grocery shopping. We only had one car. And my wife asked me to babysit Jonathan. We have a Jonathan. And it was Jonathan, and I don't remember who else was there. But my wife babysit a little boy. His name was Marshall. His name was Marshall. And Jonathan and Marshall, there's about 4 or 5 years old, and they're in the backyard. We have a fenced in, or we did then. We had a fenced in backyard, and they was in the backyard playing, fences closed in. I'm in my lazy chair, and I'm babysitting. And the way I babysit in my lazy chair is one hand's like this, and my eyes are shut. And they're in the backyard. The fence is fenced in. They can't go nowhere. They're 4 or 5 years old. You know, what could happen, right? If you need me to babysit for you, I'm real cheap. And so I'm like this, and all of a sudden, I hear this noise. It's like this. Dad. Dad. And I open my eyes, and there's Jonathan, and Marshall is standing beside him. And Marshall is going, and he's got this stick that's sticking out of his neck like this. You know how sometimes you kind of like in and out, you know, between sleeping, you know. But maybe I'm dreaming or something. And Jonathan goes, "Dad!" I go, I'm hearing Marshall going, and I jump up, I go, Oh, man. And I run up and I look at him. I pick him up. I go, Marshall. And man, I panic for a minute. I put him back down. I call 911. And I said, look, I got a young man here. And I live at 204 La Rosa in Long Beach. And he's got a stick in his throat. He's got what? I said, I couldn't explain it, but he's got a stick in his throat. I need an ambulance. I didn't have a car there. And so I picked him up and I'm thinking, oh, God, please don't let this boy drive. You're talking about ministry done. I wasn't worried about him dying. I was worried about my ministry being over. So I get our priorities right here. And so I got Marshall, and then I'm outside with him. And then I'm doing, I'm waiting for the ambulance. And I'm looking for that in front of, here comes the ambulance. And then this stick, I'm not kidding you. It's stuck in there. It's like this. I'm going, how did I get a stick like that? I never forget, the ambulance pulls up, and I saw their eyes. It was like, that, they never seen nothing like that either. When they look, that ain't a good sign. When the ambulance people are starting to panic, that ain't good. I never forget what they did. They laid him on the ground real fast. They took some clippers out. They cut the stick real close there. It was a pretty big size. They cut it right there. They just ripped his shirt off. They was exposing the wound. They had to get to the wound. They throwed him in the back of the ambulance. They took off. Sirens are going. And my wife's not there. And I have no vehicle. Back before cell phones were invented. I'm walking back and forth saying, oh, God, please don't let this young man die. Please. Finally, my wife gets home. I said, babe, we got to take up the hospital. I can't time to explain. We take off, get to the hospital, and his mother's there. And we're talking a little bit, and I'm praying, oh, God, don't let him die. The doctor comes out, and the doctor says, everything's going to be fine. I'm going, woohoo! Yes! Everything's all right, doctor. I'm just praising the Lord. He says, man, if that thing would have been over just a little bit more, he'd have been dead like that. I thought, phew. The next day I'm visiting the hospital. I got balloons and candy bars. I got all kind of stuff, man. I'm in there visiting. There's Mama, and I think it's her brother is there. And they were talking. I come in. He doesn't know who I am. I'm standing there, and I'm just, everything's okay. He says, well, he said, what happened? And she said, well, he was on a fence and he fell from the fence and hit this stick. And he said, what idiot was watching him? I'm standing there. Man, that's tough life. He said, you? I said, yeah, it was me. Are y'all with me tonight? The wound had to be exposed. Tonight, some of you have been through some things, and my friend, this conference is—it really is. I love all of it, but we've got to get down to where the problem is. Young people, you just can't leave this week with that hurt, with that injury. There, you got to go to somebody. You've got to talk to somebody. You got to get some help. You'll never be what God wants you to be. You'll never be effective. You'll never reach your potential with a wounded spirit. Number two, you must stop the bleeding. You must stop the bleeding. Go to the book of Ezekiel quickly. Well, we got to midnight, so who's hurrying? Boy, I love Brother Ray. Man, he is a wise preacher. Get up and preach like that and challenge y'all to stay to midnight. That's good. Look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 18. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 18. Watch this. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, look at verse 2. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What God is saying is you got to stop blaming your parents. You got to take responsibility. Now, the illustration I gave a while ago, I understand that what that father did to a six-year-old boy, I know it had is an effect on him, but I got a verse in the Bible that says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I got a verse that says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. My friend, we got a big God. There's no need for you to live all of your life blaming your youth pastor, blaming your pastor, blaming your mama, blaming your daddy. If you're saved, you can have victory. I was looking out my window. You know, Brother Ray's going to be picked up at 15 till I'm being picked up at 6. Why did he get picked up 15 minutes earlier than I did? Okay. So I'm looking out the window, and I'm just thinking. I'm in a conference preaching for Dr. Mike Wells. Share the pulpit with who I think one of the greatest youth speakers in America, Dr. Mike Ray. And I'm looking out the window thinking, Lord, why am I here? This is incredible. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a drunk. I've seen many times dad come home at midnight or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and knock everything off the table. And I had 5 sisters and 3 brothers. And I never heard the word saved, never heard the word born again until I was nearly 16 years old. That is the truth. When I got saved, I had long hair, sniffed gas over a lawnmower. When I got saved, I asked my mama, could I go to a Christian school? I wasn't made to go to Christian school. I wanted to go to Christian school. I never was made to read my Bible, never made to pray. We never had that in our home, not one single time my whole life. I could stand here tonight and say, I tell you what, I can't serve God because of what my daddy did or what my mama did. Hey, listen to me. You better read Matthew chapter number 1. My friend, there's 4 ladies that is mentioned there. There's Rahab the harlot. There's Ruth. There's Tamar. There's Bathsheba. If God could use their life, God could use your life. God came to save sinners, and God loves sinners, and God can use sinners. And young people, a lot of you come from a very good home. Man, what is your excuse? Pouting, your daddy makes you go to church, your mama makes you wear long skirts, you got to get a good haircut, and you can't wait to get out of here. Listen to me, you ought to thank God for a godly mom and dad. Go to a church like this, this is a privilege. Stop the bleeding. Say, what do you mean? Stop your griping and complaining and blaming everybody else. Amen. You can have victory. Amen. Amen. Number 3, you must clean the wound. You must clean the wound. So what do you mean? You're going to have to forgive others. You're going to have to forgive. You say, well, my daddy didn't take me fishing, or my dad won't spend much time with me. He always wants to go to church. Or, you know, listen to me. I get where you're coming from, but... Boy, what if your mama was a prostitute? Remember Zephath? Remember him in the Bible? His mother was a harlot? Boy, you better thank God you got a mama wanting to go to church. But you must forgive others. You must be forgiven. I know I told this story here. I don't remember. Sometimes I should probably keep up with stuff a little bit better than I do. But I got a phone call Saturday afternoon, and the lady on the other end, she just had gotten saved, and she said, preacher, my husband's dying. Would you please come and witness to my husband? And he was dying. And so I rushed to the Biloxi VA and got there and went to the ICU and got to lead him to Christ. He got saved. Came back out and told the wife and said, your husband just got saved. And she says, oh, preacher, thank you, man. That's so great. And that's wonderful. And she gave me a hug. I was like, ooh, we Baptists don't do that. She's an older lady. And so she was crying. And she said, but preacher, I hate to bother you. But she said, you know, when my husband was dying, she said, I had to call the girls. We have 8 girls. And so I had to call the girls. And they all showed up at the same time at the hospital to see their dad before he died. She said, but the problem was, preacher, she said, 4 of them haven't spoke to the other 4 for several years. So when they all met up here at the hospital to see their dad, they got in a fist fight. We had to call security to come and pull them apart. She said, some are on the first floor, some are on the third floor. Would you go talk to them? And they're like, are you serious? So I went to the third floor, got off the elevator. The four girls were sitting there. Now, I don't know why I said it this way. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, any one of you girls say? That's a good soul-winning way to start a conversation. One of them said, yeah, I've been saved. And I said, boy, that's good. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. She looked at me. I said, if you're a Christian, you need to set the example. Your daddy's dying. Your mama's upset. I said, you ought to set an example. Forgive me. She said, I know, preacher. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. So I left, got on the elevator, went to the first floor. The other four girls were sitting there. I went up to them and said, any one of you girls say, yeah, I've been saved. So you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your mama's crying. Your daddy's dying. You ought to set an example. And by the time the elevator opened, those four girls with their mothers stepped off. I thought, who needs TV when you got this? Let's go, man. I watched those four girls run to the other four girls. And I all began to hug, begin to cry, and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I left the hospital. The mother was in the middle. And they was all hugging each other. You know, that's what we need in our independent Baptist churches. There's so much bitterness and unforgiveness. Hey, the Bible says if you don't forgive others, then God will not forgive you. Let me tell you, you got to clean the wound. How do you do that? You got to forgive others. How do you get the wound clean? Hey, the Bible says, hey, we're clean through the Word. That's why we want you to get in this Bible. That's why we want you to stay in the Bible. Why? Because this book will clean you up. Number four, quickly, you got to put on some salve. We're talking about the cure for a wounded spirit. Number one, you must expose the wound. Number two, you must stop the bleeding. Number three, you must clean the wound. Number four, put on the salve. Say, preacher, what is the salve? I believe that's the sweet, precious Holy Spirit. He is called what? The Comforter. Yes, sir. Young people, no matter what your wound may be tonight, the Holy Spirit can comfort you. I never forget Brother Wells when my dad died. I was just devastated. He died with a massive heart attack. There was no warning. My mother looked at me and said, son, you know your dad would want you to preach the funeral. What you going to do? I said, Mom, I'd be honored. I want to do it, but I just don't know if I can do it. She says, I understand, but it would be so good if you would do it. And so I remember praying through the night, man, trying to get a message, trying to get a text. You know, man, this is your dad. What you going to say? What you going to preach? I remember way through the night, God gave me a verse that said, when passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I remember sitting there and was having the singing, and I was nervous and about sick and tired, been up for several days. And I can't explain it to you, but it was time for me to preach. And I went to the pulpit and gave my text. I begin to preach. I'll be honest with you. There was something happened. I don't know if I've ever had it happen quite like this since. But there's just such a sweet peace that came over. It was just almost like I just I was gone. Nothing spooky, no out-of-body experience. But I had such a sweetness, such a joy, such a peace. And it's like, all right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's like, boom, I was back. You know what? I believe the Lord just came and just the Holy Spirit just wrapped His arms around me and just comfort me and just help me right through that. You know that's really what He wants to do with all of us? He is the Comforter. My wife tried to comfort me when I lost. She couldn't do it. My brothers and sisters, you know, we're trying to comfort each other, but it's just like, nope, no preacher friend. I had preacher friends there. It was like nobody could say the right words. Nobody could do the right thing. But I'm glad when nobody can comfort you and nobody can help you. The Holy Spirit can. He is the Comforter. Boy, you got to put on that salve and then quickly, you got to put on and keep the bandages changed. Are y'all with me? If I had a real wound here, see, after a while I would have to change the bandage. You don't want an infection. You got to keep it changed. You got to keep it changed. You say, what is that? That's why you got to keep coming to church and keep coming to church. You know what this pastor's doing? He gets up and he gets with God, and he's got a message from God, and you got a wound and you got a hurt. This is what you pastor does. This is what Brother Ray did a while ago. This is what I'm trying to do now. What? I'm trying to change that bandage. Boy, last night, I don't know what happened. Sunday morning and Sunday night it happened at our church. I preached as mean as I had in a long time. I don't know, but I was just rough. And I just let them have it. And I mean, I wasn't ugly. I wasn't harsh. But I just let them have it. And I could see it, man. It's like my wife's going like, whew. I'm looking over at my son. I said, yeah, you take them hard too, don't you? I'm letting everybody have it. Boy, I got to do some making up come Wednesday if I got anybody left. But you know, every now and then, a preacher, it's like spanking your children. No preacher likes doing that. I mean, honestly. You want, if we had our way, they don't think we're this way, but we would love to just preach lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey. And every once a year we do. You know, no real pastor who loves sheep wants to. You don't skin sheep, you share sheep. Because pastor loves you. And there's nothing. A pastor will get a message and he's like, this is going to comfort them. Man, this is going to help them. And then he gets there and you're not there to hear it. What you're hearing, all he does is sowing it and sowing it and sowing it and sowing it. Yeah, because it'll help you. You tithe because it helps you. You pray because it helps you. You know, serving God is good for you. Amen. Got to get those bandages changed. And then lastly, go to James 5. I want you to see this verse. I'm finished. James. I got 3 hours left. It's incredible. Look in the book of James. This is the last point, last verse, kind of. Look in James chapter 5. Everybody with me? Does anybody know what I'm preaching about? I'm preaching about a wounded spirit. You're not going to serve God with a wounded spirit. If you don't deal with it in that stage where it's a wound, a wounded spirit, who can bear? If you don't deal with it, it's going to become a rebellious spirit. All over America, we got conferences like this. Teenagers sitting there rolling their eyes. They're not engaged in the sermon because they don't have a wounded spirit. Now, they had a rebellious spirit. Look in James chapter number 5. The book of James chapter 5. Look at verse 10. James is right after John, right? James 5. Look at verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy, which what? You have heard of what? The patience of Job. We're talking about the cure for a wounded spirit. Number one, you must expose the wound. If you've been injured or hurt, you say, preacher, all I hear is criticism, criticism, criticism. I feel rejected. You need to go talk to somebody. Let somebody pray with you. Let somebody help you. Some of you tonight, you're just bleeding. You're blaming everybody else. You're pointing fingers. You got to stop the bleeding. You got to clean the wound. You got to put on the salve. You got to put and keep those bandages changed. But listen to this. Listen. You must be patient. You know, you get a wound and the doctor goes in there and cleans out the wound. He does all of that stuff. He puts the bandage on. And what you want is do this, just take it off. And instantly you're healed. But that's not the way it works. If I had a magic wand that I could stand here and say certain words and everybody leave here completely whole, I would be booked around America 100 times over. Everybody would want to hear that sermon. Are you listening to me? I don't have that sermon. I wish I did. I think I got the cure for a wounded spirit. But listen to me. You be patient with God. You stay with God. You keep applying what and keep doing what the pastor said. Have you ever went to a doctor and you had a flu and the doctor says, look, here's an antibiotic. Take this for 10 days and come back and see me. You go get the prescription filled. You walk out, you know, you get it. You leave the drugstore. You go home. You take one pill. You don't get better. Go back to the doctor the 11th day. The doctor says, how are you doing? He said, man, I'm worse. The doctor said, did you get the prescription filled? Yes, I got it filled. Did you take all the medicine? No. But that's your problem. You wanted to take one pill and instantly be healed. You got to be patient. The things of God does work. Abraham, God keeps his promises. See, we emphasize faith in the Christian life, and boy, we are to, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? But the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith and patience, Abraham received the promise. Abraham believed the promise of God, but it was 25 years later when the promise was fulfilled. Now, I believe some of you could walk out of here, walk out of this conference, and you could have the victory. Absolutely. But if you don't you give up on God. Amen. I think five ladies in my church, good ladies, who've been molested as kids. And one of those particular ladies is having, I mean, she's in her 50s and she is still struggling. Are y'all with me? And she's just really getting in the church. I said, listen, you do these things I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you something. You may have the scar and know that it happened, but it won't have the effect on you that it used to. You be patient with the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? When your spirit is healed, boy, then you got that joy back. Then you got that zeal back. Then you can be effective for God. Then you can sing and pray and win souls. Because you got to serve God with a whole spirit. So you get offended, you get hurt, you get a wound, you don't deal with it, you don't expose it, you don't stop the bleeding, you don't get the salve, you don't get it clean, and it gets infected. And then you become an adult, you don't even go to church no more. I mean, we've seen it all over America, right? A lot of it started with a wounded spirit. So let's deal with it now. Let's get some help now. Let's get on that road to recovery now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.